So good to see you guys here at Christ Community Church and hear all that's happening. We're in a current study in 1 Corinthians, and our theme, as you can see behind us, is unity. Last week, we looked at how this church was divided. They were divided over how to treat a man that was caught in sexual immorality. They were divided because one member was suing another member in the church. This church had a lot of conflict, and we all love conflict, right? Some of you are like, I need more conflict in my life, especially as it comes to relational conflict. I imagine that almost everybody here can think of one relationship that's happening in your life right now that's strained or that's hurt or that's separated. It could be with a boss, could be with a friend, could be with a parent, a sibling, a friend or neighbor. And so you think about relational conflict, and that's what we're going to talk about today, is what are we to do about it? Now, there's usually three ways we respond to relational conflict. The first one is we just ignore it. We just hope it goes away. You know, we're like the monkeys who does this. And it never really works, right? That it continually festers. Now, that's the flight response. The other one is the fight response. Whenever there's conflict in our life, we attack the other person. You know, we criticize them. I want to give you today a third and better way that's pleasing to God. We become peacemakers. We seek out reconciliation with that person. Peacemaking pleases God. It restores relationship, and that's what brings honor to God. So let me pray and ask God to help us. God, I do pray that you would show to us both the conflicts that are in our life with others and then show us the pathway forward through your gospel, motivated by your grace, compelled by how you treat us, that we would seek out to become peacemakers in other people's life. And we pray that pray this in Christ's name. Amen. I pulled a lot of these principles out of a book from Ken Sandy called The Peacemaker, and there's a lot of content that we're going to cover today and a lot of lists. So those of you taking notes, I'm going to free you up from being frustrated. We emailed out an outline on Friday. Go and look at that, and you won't feel like you have to keep up with me in those fill in the blanks. But here's the main idea. Since conflict with others, it's inevitable. Hey, good news, right? There is going to be conflict that we have with other people. Since it's inevitable, seek to be a peacemaker. Let me define peacemaking. The process of seeking to resolve our differences and restore our relationships with God and with others so that we demonstrate the love and power of God in our life. Two quick points. Be at peace with everyone. Be a peacemaker. Let's talk about that. Be at peace with everyone. We are to seek peace in unity. Relational peace is important to God. And it should be important to us. It's one thing I learned this week that I never knew or never noticed before is that every epistle in the New Testament involves a command to seek peace with other people. Every letter in the New Testament says that we are to live at peace with each other. Here's just some examples. Romans 12, 18. If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Hebrews 12, 14. Strive for peace with everyone. Jesus promoted it in the Beatitudes, Matthew 5, 9. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Notice he didn't say, blessed are the peacekeepers. As an Enneagram 9, that's what I love, to keep peace. He said, blessed are the peacemakers, the ones who seek it out, the ones who strive for it. Psalm 34, 14, turn away from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. Peace is important to God. As believers, we are called to seek out peace. Now, here's the second step. We are to source the reason for the conflict. Where does conflict originate? And many of us will say, well, with the other person. Conflict originates in the heart. Conflict originates with unmet passions, unmet desires. James 4 shows us this. What causes quarrels? What causes fights among you? Is it not this, that your passions are at war within you? You desire, do not have, so you murder. You covet and cannot obtain, so you fight and quarrel. See, what causes conflict, what causes us to fight with one another is because we have these passions in our heart. And when these passions are unmet, we're frustrated and we act out. Unmet desires are really just another name for idols. And when somebody comes and they threaten our idol that we're holding into our heart, that's the source of conflict. And so one of the most helpful things that you can do in your own heart, and maybe even as you look at the relationship, is to go, okay, they said this, this happened, but what's really behind it? What's at the heart level that's causing conflict in my own heart? Once we get to the source of it, then I think it'll help so much in the pathway forward. And that leads us to the third thing that we are to do. We're to act. Save the relationship, for it honors God and it saves you from consequences. We all know there's consequences to strained relationships, right? There's consequences physically. I read a report this week, research from Concordia University, and it said that tension, strain in relationships with others, bitterness, it makes us physically ill. It can affect your metabolism, your immune response, organ function can lead to physical disease. The opposite is true. Whenever we release bitterness in our life, whenever we seek out and we bring that relationship back together, it leads to improved mental health, less anxiety, lower blood pressure, fewer symptoms of depression, a stronger immune system, improved heart health. So when we have unresolved conflict, it hurts us physically. But it also hurts our relationship with God. Proverbs 28:13. Whoever conceals his transgressions will not prosper, but he who confesses and forsakes them will obtain mercy. If you are holding in your heart sinful attitudes or actions towards another, your relationship with God is stunted. Ephesians 4:30-31, do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Don't grieve the Holy Spirit. Remember, we talked about this in our study on the Holy Spirit. Well, what grieves the Holy Spirit? Look at the following words. Bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, slander. A lot of those are a part of our broken relationships with other people. That's what grieves the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit won't work fully in our hearts until we have resolved conflict. So it hurts our relationship with God. It hurts us physically, but it also hurts our relationships with others. Whenever there's conflict with others and it's not resolved, we lose friends. We lose relationships. We damage relationships. We lose family. About 10 years ago, I have a brother who's 2 years older than me, and he had what I would consider a minor disagreement with my parents. In that moment, he decided that he was just going to cut every one of us off. And so for over 10 years, my mom, my dad, when he was living, me and my other siblings have had no relationship with my brother. My kids don't even know their Uncle David. All because of unresolved conflict that I believe if we had just been able to seek each other out, then we wouldn't have experienced the consequences of that. So we talk about being a peacemaker. We talked about being a being there's just, let's just go to the second point about be a peacemaker. I'm just sad about that. I'm really sad that I felt like it could have been, I'm just sad. Let's look at this second point. Be a peacemaker. This is the application for today. Whenever there's ongoing relationships, whenever there's ongoing conflict or an estranged relationship, we are to be a peacemaker. I wrote down, don't be a peace faker. Some of us are good peace fakers, right? Everything's okay. We're not at wrong with each other. Don't always be a peacekeeper. Sometimes it's good to be a peacekeeper, but a lot of times, again, speaking to myself, it's really fear of confrontation. And I need to have more courage and love for the other person to seek that out. We are to be a peacemaker. Now, we see the initiative in being a peacemaker in Matthew chapter 5. Look at Matthew 5, 23 and 24. Jesus writes, so if you are offering your gift at the altar, and there remember that your brother has something against you, leave your gift there before the altar and go. First be reconciled to your brother, and then come and offer your gift. Do you see who the initiative rests with? It rests with you. It rests with us. It hurts our relationship with God. What Jesus is teaching there is don't even attempt to worship God until you make right a relationship that's wrong. Before you even come to worship, before you pray to God, think about, is there anything that someone else has against me? And that's another thing to notice. It says, go to someone else when they do something against you. It doesn't say that. It says, when somebody has something against you. We are to be initiatives in seeking peacemaking. Don't wait for them to come to you. Ken Sandy, in his book on peacemaking, he tells a story of how he was preaching on this Matthew 5 passage at a small rural country church. And after church, he went out to lunch with one of the friends from the church. And as they were eating, there was a man who was in church that day and came up to him at their meal and said, I need to tell you what just happened. He said, over 2 years ago, I had an argument with my next door neighbor about where we were going to put a fence. He got mad, I got mad, and we both stormed off. And we haven't talked to each other in over 2 years. And the man said, because of your sermon, because looking at Matthew 5, I immediately after church drove over to this guy's house. And I told him, I was wrong. I am sad that we no longer have a relationship. And he said, neighbor responded, I am too. I just didn't know how I would ever bring up the conversation again. All because this one man took the initiative, whenever there was something between him and another person, to go and become a peacemaker. Can you think of anybody in your life right now that God may be asking you to take the first step to seek peace with somebody that you have an estranged relationship with? We are to be peacemaker. So what's the peacemaking process? I just summarize it with three O's. Own your contribution to the conflict, overlook the offense unless it's persistent or painful, and then open up a conversation. First of all, we've got to own our contribution to the conflict. Almost always, we can discover something that we did that contributed to the conflict. Whether it's 5% or 50%, it doesn't matter. The very first step in gospel-motivated reconciliation is that we start with ourselves. Own your contribution. Matthew 7, we probably have all heard these verses. Why do you see the speck that is in your brother's eyes? Pretty good at that, right? Why do you see the speck that is in your brother's eye, but do not notice the log that is in your own eye? Or How can you say to your brother, let me take that speck out of your eye when there is the log in your own eye? I love the imagery of Jesus and even the subtle humor here. Speck, log in your eye. He's saying he wants the contrast to happen, right? You hypocrite, first take the log out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to take the speck out of your brother's eye. Now, we've got to own our own contribution. Before we go and be reconciled to somebody else, look and examine ourselves. I sat in many marriage counseling moments trying to help spouses become reconciled to each other. And the hardest job that I have, that any counselor have, is to help both parties see where they're at fault. Because if each of them could hold up a sign attributing the percentage of blame, they're probably both holding 90% over their spouse's head. And I'm not good at math, but 90 and 90 is more than 100. Both of them, one of the best things that we can do is to see and own our own contribution to the conflict. Now, some of you may think, really, it is. They are 90 and I'm just 10. Sometimes that may be the case, but I'm pretty skeptical. But I just wrote down, here's some good questions to ask just to help you to understand your role in the conflict. How did you treat them before the initial event of the conflict? Okay, remember, maybe they did or acted something, but how were you treating them before that? Did you try to control them, criticize them, or maybe not even show care about them? Were you being selfish, trying to get your way? Well, here's another hammer across the head. How have you treated them since the event? So think about your own contribution to the conflict. Now, the second thing is to overlook. We are to overlook the offense unless it is persistent or painful. That would help a lot of conflicts from ever getting off the ground. If it's just in the moment, if we can just choose to overlook. Is fighting about one thing really worth it? For example, let's just say, you know, During the evening, Jennifer says something that's a snarky comment to me. And in that moment, I can respond in two ways. I can respond back with a snarky comment towards her. Or if it was just a one-off comment, I can choose to overlook. I can choose to extend mercy and understanding to her. Proverbs 19:11. Good sense makes one slow to anger, and it is his glory to overlook an offense. Matthew 5:39. This is Jesus kind of talking along this same vein of thought. But I say to you, do not resist the one who is evil, but if anyone slaps you on the right cheek, turn to him the other also. So, believer, there are times when we need to just overlook an offense. Forgive. Not hold on to it. Do you know why? Because God does this with us so much. God is so patient to overlook our sin. God is so forbearing with us. How about we begin to imitate God to other people? See, when I talk about overlooking an offense, it's making a decision. I'm not going to hold on to this till later, which is what we usually do, right? Jennifer's snarky comment, make mental note, bring it back up the next time I need it. What overlooking an offense says, I forgive Jennifer in that moment. And I do it because God has forgiven me so often. Colossians 3:13, here's our motivation. Bearing with one another, and if one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other, As the Lord has forgiven you, so you also must forgive. Is the gospel motivating you in your relationships with others? So what do we do if someone's sins are too serious to overlook? Now remember, I gave a little qualification there. I said, overlooking an offense unless it's persistent or painful. Now if somebody just continually, persistently is sinning against you, then it needs to be addressed. Or if it's painful and you just can't move past it, then it needs to be addressed. So how do you know if a sin's serious enough to address? Four questions behind us. Is it dishonoring God? Is what they did dishonoring to God? Is it damaging my relationship with them? Is it hurting others? And is it hurting the individual? So again, one snarky comment on a Tuesday night, I don't think I need to pursue at all. But if it's something that's persistent and over, and it's damaging my relationship with Jennifer, or it's damaging Jennifer's relationship with others, then it's serious enough to have a conversation about it. I love the beauty of this imagery in James 5. My brothers, if anyone among you wanders from the truth and someone brings him back, and we're talking about bring him back through this peacemaking process, let him know that whoever brings back a sinner from his wandering will save his soul from death and will cover a multitude of sins. So remember what I said. If possible, overlook the offense. Truly forgive them. And if it's serious enough, then start the peacemaking process. And that's the third and final, is that we open up a conversation to restore the relationship. Remember last week we talked about Matthew chapter 18, and Jesus gave us the process that we are to go through whenever there's an action or a sin against someone else. Matthew 18:15. If your brother sins against you, go and tell him his fault. Between who? Between you and him alone. Whenever conflict, whenever there's a strained relationship, the first place to start is that you go to that person. Man, if that would just happen, I would bet 75% of broken relationships would be healed in that moment. I really do. But we rarely do that because we're fearful. Or we want other people to know as a way of hurting that person that hurt us. So we're to start with a private conversation. Now, here's some helpful principles. And try not to write down these notes. Like I said, this is the one that was in the outline. But I want you just to listen and to absorb, because I'm just going to go through them real quick. Principles of how to peacemake. First of all, approach them with gentleness and grace. Galatians 6:1, brothers, if anyone is caught in any transgression, you who are spiritual should restore him in a spirit of gentleness. So let's say I have something against Michael Thomas, and I set up a lunch with him Tuesday at 12, and I'm ready to open up this conversation. I don't show up with Michael and go, hey, Michael, guess what I got? I got a list for you. The first thing that I'm to do is to pray for my own heart. In fact, that Greek word for gentleness in that verse, it means large-hearted. It means generous. It means gentle. So my approach has to be out of love for him, out of gentleness towards him. Here's the second principle. Assume the best. Start with questions to understand. There you go. There's a novel thought. How about before I launch in and tell you what you did wrong, how about I assume the best? Maybe Jennifer had an awful day at work, and that's what created that comment. How about I just ask her, honey, what's wrong? Honey, what's going on? Again, not very good at math, but 37% of conflicts, I just made that up, start with a misunderstanding. And the only way to really get to the heart of a misunderstanding is just to ask questions. Maybe that's to your boss at work. Hey, you criticized me at the staff meeting. Is there something that about my performance that I don't know? Oh, yeah, you did this or that. And you may go, that wasn't me. That was actually the other person in my department. Oh, man, I'm sorry I did that. So approach, assume the best, ask questions. James 1:19, know my beloved brothers, let every person be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger. Here's another principle. Share your contribution to the conflict, your desire to resolve the conflict. I already talked about that. Number four, share how the other person has wounded you. Here's that awkward moment for those of us who like to keep peace among others. You actually need to tell them in very specific ways how they have wounded you. This is speaking truth in love. You need to say, you did this. You said this. Be very specific with them. They may not know, but they may need to know exactly what they did to hurt you. Number five, share your willingness and commitment to forgive and move on. Number six, involve others if mediation is needed. Number seven, sometimes through all the process, reconciliation just doesn't happen, right? Some of you guys have tried this, and at the end, it's still, you haven't been brought back together. And this is the last step. You just have to turn it over to God. You just have to trust Him. You have to pray and ask God to change that person, to change you, and to change the relationship. But we are to seek peace. We are to be peacemakers with others. It's so important. Right after college, I went to Japan, and we were ministering to college students at universities in Tokyo. Well, one of the Saturdays, we had a free Saturday, and we as a team decided we're going to go to Tokyo Disney World, and we're going to spend the Saturday there. So we invited some of our unbelieving Japanese friends to go with us. Well, we were in the room, and I was a team leader, so I was leading the group at the time. And I had decided we were going to pair up just for safety reasons. But, you know, you have somebody in your team that you're with the entire day. Now, this was a team that we've been together for about a month and a half at the time. So you would think that we at least kind of like each other. You would not believe how much conflict that caused. People were outward yelling about who they were paired with. There was conflict about, why do I have to go with this person? I don't want to go with that person. Can I go with this person? And there was about five other Japanese unbelievers sitting in the room. It was the most childish response that I've ever seen. And I was probably a part of it. But in that moment, by God's grace, I brought up, what's going on? Why are we responding this way? And in the moment, there was a Spirit of God moving among us. And there was confession. There was conviction. There was hugs. The team came back together. One of the Japanese college students, about 2 weeks after that, had become a Christian, gave their life to Christ. And that story, or actually that event, was something that led them to it. There is fruit in being a peacemaker. So I want to call you who are uncomfortable. God is asking you to be a peacemaker, to take the initiative to a spouse, to a friend, to a sibling, because God has sought out peace with us. Because God has shown us forgiveness, we can show forgiveness to others. So will you do that? Remember, we talk about unity. We talk about striving for peace with one another. It starts tomorrow. Or maybe if you drove to church with someone, it starts with you and them in the car. God, help us to do this. I do pray that you would Help us to live in peace with one another. Help us to be a peacemaker. Father, I pray for relationships here in the church that people have been lost or damaged. God, would you do some new work? Maybe you're asking some of us, like the farmer to his neighbor farmer, that we are to go and start a conversation. So, Father, I pray that God, help us to reflect how you have treated us, that we would begin doing that with others. And we pray this in Christ's name. Amen.